All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you on August the 3rd, 2021 from New York City. I want to thank each of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows of the Voice America Business Channel. And also want to ask you, invite you to send along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors. This week, our show is possible because of Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, NV Gold Corp, and Firefox Gold. I've titled today's show, The Fed's Fast Approaching Dilemma and Yours. Alistair McLeod, Dr. Quentin Henning, and Michael Oliver return this week. On July 22nd, Alistair wrote in his weekly newsletter, he wrote, and I quote, "The problem fast approaching all major central banks is that a rise in interest rates will be brought forward by their misjudgment on price inflation, a development which will directly challenge the policies of deploying QE to support financial markets and sustain confidence in the economy. And with the end of zero official interest rates, to continue support for financial assets requires an increase in quantitative easing to compensate. In other words, the money being fed to investing institutions will have to be supplemented to prevent risk assets falling in value." End of quote. Well, Alistair believes we are in that we are really on the eve of a massive currency destruction that mirrors that of the French livre when it that resulted when it was increased to support the Mississippi bubble, the Mississippi company, I should say, and what was the greatest bubble of that day. So this is indeed, I think, very similar to what is happening now when starting with Alan Greenspan, actually, back after the 1987 stock market crash in which he started to support asset prices by printing money. No different, really, according to Alistair, than what happened back in 1720 with the Mississippi bubble. So the printing of Libra to keep the shares of the Mississippi Company elevated resulted in massive inflation. And so not only were the shares artificially priced above their intrinsic value, but at the same time, the Libra, the currency of France, was losing its purchasing power, and then it did so almost exponentially. Now the Fed, as Alistair will argue, is doing much the same thing. So we'll hear what Alistair has to say. And there actually was somebody that could see what was coming back in with the Mississippi bubble, and that was an economist named Richard Cantillon. And he was able to exit and get out in time and made an absolute fortune by foreseeing what was headed their way. In fact, what he did was sell all his shares in the Mississippi Company for Livre, of course, and then took his Livre and bought British pound sterling, which was backed by gold. So essentially, he traded in his Mississippi Company shares for gold. And Alistair, again, we'll have him on to talk about the similarities he sees, almost the duplicate situation in some ways to what went on at that time. In the second segment of today's show, Dr. Quentin Henning will be with me to talk about an amazing gold exploration story that is unfolding for Lion One shareholders. The proof of concept that Dr. Quentin Henning talked about, an alkaline gold deposit, which are amongst the largest and highest grade kind of gold deposits in the world, really does seem to be unfolding. So Dr. Henning will talk to us in the second segment. They just put out some blockbuster assays last week. The market sort of yawned, and I think it's time really people need to pay attention to what's going on because I believe that something very significant is starting to unfold there for the Tuva 2 project of Lion One. But right now I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again. It's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. Go there to learn more about Michael's excellent work, his structural and his momentum and structural work that really is his proprietary model that has worked extremely well from my perspective, and always glad to have him with us. Thanks for joining us again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Always good to have you with us, and I want to ask you, you talked about something about the side windows. Now, I know this last week you also put out, you're sort of, on a monthly basis, you sort of put out guidance in terms of the various markets, key areas that people should be watching and so forth. One of the areas that you talked about were treasuries. I think you talked about the U.S. treasuries, and you also focused on the dollar. Maybe we could start out by commenting on those two markets, where you think we're at now. Because, again, today we're talking about what Alistair MacLeod thinks is the potential for a shaky dollar at best. So what are your comments about the U.S. treasuries and the dollar markets?
Well, the longer end of the treasuries, let's say 10-year on out to 30, that's what we're looking at, is that's under less control by the Fed than the short-term stuff. And in March, when gold made its low at 1673, which we think was the low of the entire pullback, T-bonds made a low, meaning it made high yields were reached then, but they're low price. And they both bottomed in March. Now, the bonds didn't come up off that low as quickly as gold did. Mm-hmm. Gold came up in late April, early May, and surged over 1900. But T-bonds have continued to advance, and we suspected they would. And mm-hmm. it's not really... too many people, when I watch financial channels and so forth talking about T-bonds, they try to get real sophisticated about, oh, there's a subtlety between this and that, and you mm-hmm. know, there's got to be a specific reason. They're really confused by it because they can't understand why rates would drop in a high inflation environment, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. especially if the Fed has been talking supposedly about tightening, at some right. future date. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. nobody seems to understand that all the time, there's an ongoing investor preference shift underway. Mm-hmm. And it may stay constant for a while, but it changes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always change because of some news story, announcement by the Fed, or a change mm-hmm. in a weather pattern or something. Investors, smart investors who've been around a while, the Ray Dalios of the world, mm-hmm. are suspicious of the stock market because they see in it, in fact, inflation. It's uh-huh. what we've had for a dozen years. The Fed has printed money, and instead of it going into commodities or price of bread or anything like that, it went into the stock market. And so if you think there's not been inflation, throw up an S&P chart and take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And look at an M2 chart as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're suspicious of it in terms of risk-reward. Now, these guys can't just dump their stock positions and go to commodities. They don't operate that way. Mm-hmm. They manage huge funds, and they shift gently. Well, those gentle shifts can be reflected in things like T-bonds turning up. Mm-hmm. Why mm-hmm. T-bonds? Well, because they're safe. It's cash. Mm-hmm. It's a place mm-hmm. to put it when you don't know where else to put it. Why did gold bottom at the same time in March, 673, and then shoot up a couple hundred bucks? Mm-hmm. Now it's still 140 off that low. Why did that occur? There wasn't a particular news story, but both of those alternative assets to the U.S. stock market, gold and T-bonds, turned up because mm-hmm. probably there's an investor preference shift underway, and it's ongoing. Mm-hmm. If the stock market shows any wobble, and we think it's doing it, and we think it's actually topping right now, mm-hmm. the evidence of that will be probably this quarter. More and more money will in turn move out of stock category into other alternatives. And what's performing well? Well, T-bonds are, and they're safe, and two, the commodity markets and commodity-related stocks are performing well. So that's where it'll go. And so I think you'd need to look out of side mirrors at these markets you may not be in, like T-bonds. Mm-hmm. And also the dollar. Now, the dollar, we think, is on the verge of its next leg of collapse. Its first one was in 2017. It went from $103.80 down to under 89, did mm-hmm. it pretty rapidly. And then it rallied back up. But now it's what's it doing? It's laying there near the lows of the five-year range in the very low 90s. Right now it's around 92. But it's been one of the, in fact, the last 7 months of this year, 2021, has been one of the narrowest years in dollar history in terms of percent range. It's about mm-hmm. a 3% range. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks every uptick and downtick is meaningful, and actually what's going on, the market has been beat down to a level that the price guys are defending, and that's around the 90 level, dollar index. And we think it's going to assault that level again soon. And when it does, this time it's not going to hold, which case we think you could get a violent downdraft into the 80s. Now, that kind of move in the dollar index is big.
Yeah, sure.
It will have wave effects. So be watchful there, because that will have a wind at the back of gold and silver.
Well, I have to ask you now again, we're seeing the commodities certainly are performing well. I think you watch the Bloomberg Commodity Index closely. I see your charts from time to time, and they're really looking strong. The commodity indexes, the commodity complex overall has done very well. Oil has been really strong of late, but we're not seeing the precious metals. It sort of seems like the precious metals should be leading the complex, given the massive amounts of money that's being created out of thin air to buy the treasuries and support the markets. You would think, but again, I guess it's, as you say, investor preferences for whatever reasons.
Well, if you stand back and look a little further back, gold made its low in December 2015, just above 1,050. It retested, probed back toward that low, a low of 1,164 in the summer of 2018, got within $100 or so of the 2015 low, and then took off. Commodities didn't take off till last November. So, in effect, gold is lead commodities, so is silver. And now, yes, they've paused recently while the commodities are going up, but actually in the big swing of things, gold left its lows behind way before the commodity complex was reborn again, which was last November by our metrics. And yes, they've performed very well over the last 9 months or so, commodities, while gold has been in a congestion pullback phase and silver has been in a sideways phase. Stand back and look at a silver chart. It's a range. The low end was $22, and that occurred 6 weeks after the high in July, August, pulled back to 22 in September. And then since then, it's been living what? Yeah, a coin toss, either side of $25. So it's been holding steady. I think that steadiness in the metals is about to end, and I think we're about to break out upside again. We've got some very specific numbers that we publish, and the numbers aren't far away, and we think the recent behavior of gold and silver, after shrugging off that Fed nonsense, you know, in mid-June, when everybody's like, oh, the Fed's going to raise rates on us. They've shrugged that off pretty well, and I think they're poised now with a little bit further upside to trigger some numbers that should be pretty strong. In other words, the tone should change pretty dramatically if you get to these numbers.
All right.
In which case, they wake up again.
All right. With just a few seconds, 30 seconds or so left, you mentioned this equity market looks wobbly to you. Do you think we need to see the equity market start to tank or go down strongly before gold wakes up and starts getting
that would help. I think you probably will see that. But again, it's not something that gold has to have. It obviously didn't have to have it at this point. We're not at $1,000 gold. We're $1,800-plus gold. And yet the stock market's higher than it was in 2015. We don't necessarily need to see that. But when you do see that, even just a 5 or 10% drop in the stock market will unnerve a lot of people.
Yeah,
it will no doubt cause many asset managers to move more assets in the other directions.
Alrighty. Well, we'll be on the lookout for it. And thanks again, Michael, for sharing your insights with our listeners. It's always appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you much, Jay. Good.
Alrighty, folks. So that we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Dr. Henning will be with us to talk about Lion One and their pretty amazing numbers they just put out last week. So he'll be here to comment on that and much more. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Henning.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.